It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Week 2, day 3, the impeachment hearing rolls on.
It is improper for the President of the United States to demand a foreign government investigate a U.S. citizen and a political opponent.
Two people on the president's phone call with his Ukrainian counterpart back in July testifying today at the House impeachment inquiry. First up, vice presidential aide and Russia specialist Jennifer Williams.
I found the July 25th phone call unusual because, in contrast to other presidential calls I had observed, it involved discussion of what appeared to be a domestic political matter.
Williams says she voiced her concern. So too did Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. He's the National Security Council's top expert on Ukraine.
My intent was to raise these concerns because they had significant national security implications for our country. I never thought that I'd be sitting here testifying in front of this committee and the American public about my actions.
Former independent counsel Ken Starr says while President Trump's judgment could be called into question here, there is nothing impeachable about what he did.
There really is no crime. It's certainly not what the founding generation intended. Here we are, 11 months and a few days away from a presidential election. It's extravagant. It's political.
And it will continue right on through Thursday this week in Washington. The two prison guards who were on duty when Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide behind bars, now behind bars themselves. Those guards have been charged with sleeping on the job and falsifying records. A U.S. citizen has been freed in a prisoner swap in the Middle East. Correspondent Cammy McCormick is at the Pentagon.
Three Taliban leaders were released by the Afghan government. In exchange, the Taliban released an American, an Australian, and 10 members of the Afghan security forces. The Westerners were teachers at the American University in Kabul. They were abducted 3 years ago. This swap is hoped to open the lines of communication between the Taliban and the Afghan government now that U.S. Taliban talks have failed.
That's Cammy McCormick reporting. The U.S. Senate urging President Trump to support the protesters in Hong Kong. Speaking on the floor this morning, New York Democrat Chuck Schumer says the Chinese extradition bill is a direct assault on Hong Kong's judicial independence.
The administration and the president himself should voice their support for the protesters in Hong Kong, which would send an important message to the Chinese Communist Party not to get involved or in any way escalate the situation.
Schumer says the U.S. stands in solidarity with those democratic protesters. The investigation continues into Sunday night's mass shooting at a house in Fresno, California that left 4 men dead, 6 others wounded. Police say at least 2 people were involved in the attack, and they believe that house was targeted.
Possibly some people at this party were involved in a disturbance earlier this week.
Police Chief Andy Hill says there's been an uptick in Asian gang activity in Fresno, and he believes the shooting was, in fact, gang-related. Pacific Gas and Electric has told nearly 200,000 customers in California it might have to cut power again because of strong winds that could amp up those wildfire threats. This woman has been through it before.
I threw probably like $300-$400 worth of food away. And I'm afraid to buy food anymore. When will it stop?
And this has been one of the most active wildfire seasons in California history. The reaction continues to roll in after Chick-fil-A announced yesterday it's no longer donating to organizations that don't support the LGBTQ movement. That includes the Salvation Army and Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Here's Father Jonathan Morris.
As soon as we as an American culture begin putting a litmus test out there, like if you are not for gay marriage, then you cannot do any good. You cannot be involved in our American culture of Christmas giving, like the Salvation Army has been for so long, well, then I think we're in a very bad state.
The chicken chain says in the coming year it hopes to work exclusively in the areas of education, homelessness, and hunger. Still to come this Tuesday, 20-hour standoff in Batavia, picking up the pieces in Hornell, and the celebrity chef in Corning.
Good afternoon. We're looking at a fairly cloudy weather stretch, but one that will feature only little bits of nuisance precipitation, at least. I'll be back with forecast details coming. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Okie dokie. Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Tuesday, November 19th, new at noon, New York State has become the latest state in the country to sue e-cigarette giant Juul. State Attorney General Letitia James says that company engaged in marketing aimed at getting young kids hooked on vaping.
Juul basically took a page from Big Tobacco's playbook by marketing its products in a manner that was appealing to underage youth.
At a press conference this morning, James accused Juul of marketing, then selling their products to minors over the internet. The suit also claims Juul's ad campaigns used young, attractive models to portray juuling as a safe alternative to smoking regular cigarettes. A 20-hour standoff in Batavia, New York has finally come to an end. Police say a man barricaded himself inside a home and was firing a pellet gun at them. He also is accused of showing off a sword. That man was taken into custody earlier today without incident in Batavia. Well, they're calling it the perfect storm. That's how local leaders describing the largest fire in Hornell, New York history. 23 people left homeless following that devastating blaze Sunday afternoon in the Maple City.
Just looking at the area, it's absolutely devastating, and my heart just breaks for those people that have been displaced.
That's Hornell Mayor John Buckley.
Just a total loss. You know, it's not just their homes, but their personal belongings, their clothing, their memories, and it's just so heartbreaking.
Now Buckley says it's a miracle no one was killed. The Red Cross helping out the victims.
We begin where the need is, and so that's basic needs: food, clothing, shelter, medications.
Brian McConnell, executive director of the Finger Lakes Red Cross, he says the road to recovery after a fire like this, a long one.
We have a team of volunteer mental health workers to help with mental health needs and also physical health needs. And we'll just begin that process with the family and also reaching out to other organizations to help them begin their recovery.
Cause still under investigation, the Pennsylvania Senate Health Committee has voted to support the Down Syndrome Protection Act. That measure protects babies in the womb with a Down syndrome diagnosis from being targeted for death. Pro-life activist Rachel Campos Duffy gave birth 2 months ago to a Down syndrome baby.
We have not yet established whether the constitutional right currently that we have for abortion in this country extends to eugenic abortions, which is exactly what this is. It is targeting children simply because they have one more chromosome than other people.
The Down Syndrome Protection Act now goes to the full Senate in Harrisburg. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo facing a lawsuit from Alliance Defending Freedom. This after the governor signed a law this month that forces pro-life groups to hire people who oppose their pro-life mission. ADF's Denise Harrell.
This would be like forcing the NAACP to employ individuals who discriminate based on race. The government can't force religious groups to violate their core beliefs in personnel and leadership decisions.
The Christian legal firm is representing Rochester-based Compass Care in court. Compass Care CEO Jim Harden.
Beliefs are everything. And when you take away our ability to act on our beliefs, you gut us. We become ineffective.
Governor Cuomo signed the controversial law back on November 8th. It also makes it illegal to fire an employee at a pro-life organization who chooses to have an abortion. Death with dignity legislation remains divisive in New York. The Medical Aid in Dying Bill could become the law of the land next year.
More than 20% of Americans now have this critical and compassionate end-of-life option.
Assisted suicide advocate Corinne Carey says 9 states have laws that let the terminally ill end their life with the help of a doctor. Pro-lifers argue this legislation could lead to elder abuse.
There's just nothing. There's nothing that's been proposed that's in the bill currently that could remove that risk.
In states where assisted suicide is legal, the overall suicide rate is higher. A Pennsylvania policy is putting the state's Catholic diocese out of the adoption and foster care business. Family Life's Brendan Dixon.
The Diocese of Greensburg near Pittsburgh recently announced that its Catholic Charities Agency was closing its adoption and foster care program after 65 years because the state's non-discrimination policy added sexual orientation and gender identity as protected categories. The diocese in Greensburg, Philly, and Erie all sought a religious exemption from the policy in 2018. They were denied. The State Human Services Department says it cannot support discrimination, quote, in any form against any group of Pennsylvanians. The diocese say the policy is unnecessarily hostile to faith-based groups that hold to traditional beliefs about marriage. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Some coaches and parents in Western New York hoping to sack a plan by a state health committee that would ban youth tackle football.
With tackle football, you have to teach how to hit. You have to teach how to take a hit.
Ray Turpin, president of the Niagara Erie Youth Sports Association. He says, contrary to popular opinion, youth football today safer than it's ever been.
We teach kids at a very young age the proper techniques and fundamentals on how to tackle and block properly.
Turpin says state lawmakers are using studies done on professional players who played for 20 years with no concussion protocols in place. He says that's not a fair gauge to use when it comes to youth football.
You know, a player would get his bell rung and he would come off on the sideline for a play and go immediately back in. Today, that doesn't happen.
Proponents of banning youth tackle football say the game simply isn't safe at that age. Critics say if kids aren't taught to tackle when they're young, the game only gets more dangerous for them at the high school level. Penn State's president says he's working to counter national and state enrollment trends that are putting pressure on colleges and universities all across the Commonwealth. Family Life's Terry Diener.
University President Eric Barron says almost every county in Pennsylvania has a decline in the number of high school graduates and that those graduates are less likely to go to college. To fight those trends, the Philadelphia Inquirer reports that Barron told trustees the university has created a task force to focus on recruiting international students, including from areas such as South America and Africa. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thanks, Terry. A seventh grader from Corning, New York will be competing tonight on the Food Network. Owen Rollison earning a spot on Chopped Junior after his audition earlier this year.
I was nervous at first, but then when we started cooking, I sort of didn't really pay attention to the camera as much. I was like in the zone.
Rollison says his passion for cooking began before he could even walk.
One year, my grandparents got me a cookbook for my birthday, and they said I could pick out a recipe from it, and I would make it for my family, and I think that's when I started just really loving to cook.
We asked this local celebrity chef who does most of the cooking in the Rollison household.
Me and my mom probably cook about the same amount, but my mom usually, when she cooks, it's just for sustenance. When I cook, I really want it to taste good.
Rollison says his favorite food to cook is Asian cuisine. You can catch him in action tonight on the Food Network, 8 o'clock. Little football action south of the border. Sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Yeah, Monday night football in Mexico City. Rough night for Phillip Rivers for the Chargers. He'd already thrown three interceptions. Still had a chance to tie the game up against the Chiefs. 24 seconds left.
Tries that under move. Rivers steps up to the end zone. Oh, no! Intercepted by Sorensen. Fourth interception thrown by Rivers.
Yeah. Four interceptions. Chiefs win 24-17. The game played in Mexico City. Andy Reid loved being south of the border.
I'll tell you what, we love the hospitality that we received. Phenomenal people. You know, it was a great experience. I think the players would tell you the same thing.
Kansas City improves to 7-4. The Chargers fall to 4-7, but they're not out yet, says Phillip Rivers.
The only way I know is to fight, and you just keep fighting. Sign up for them all. Regardless of what your record is, and we've been in this spot before, and you just keep playing.
Other sports, longtime Yankee shortstop Derek Jeter highlights the newcomers on the National Baseball Hall of Fame ballot. Jeter expected to be selected on the first ballot, of course, after winning 5 World Series and earning 14 All-Star nods in New York. Other newcomers on the list include Cliff Lee, Josh Beckett, Jason Giambi, Bobby Abreu, and Alfonso Seriano. Duke, the new number one in the newest USA Today Top 25 Coaches poll. The Blue Devils received 25 first-place votes, took over the top spot from Michigan State, which fell to third. third. After that season-opening loss to Kentucky, Louisville moved up three spots to number two. North Carolina jumped seven spots from 11th to fourth. Kansas rounding out the top five. To the NBA, the defending world champion Raptors crushed the Hornets 132-96 with the franchise record 40 assists. That's how you do it, says Norman Powell.
I think it's a lot of fun. You know, everybody shining the ball, everybody able to contribute, just going into the next action, letting the offense work.
Cheers at Madison Square Garden as the Knicks rough up the Cavaliers 123-105. And in Brooklyn, the Pacers beat the Nets 115-86. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphia.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come this Tuesday, Chick-fil-A raising some eyebrows, rescuing kids off the streets. Meet today's hometown hero. And it's bye-bye for Bay Bay.
Chick-fil-A's decision to refocus its charitable giving has a lot of people upset. What troubles me is not so much where the money's now going, it's the message this decision sends. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Although the announcement didn't mention which groups would no longer be funded, most media outlets covering the Chick-fil-A Foundation's press release on Monday did. Chick-fil-A to stop donating to some groups following LGBTQ protest, read the USA Today headline. Chick-fil-A will no longer fund anti-LGBTQ organizations, said ABC News. Those are very different headlines than the one that the Chick-fil-A Foundation gave to its own announcement. Chick-fil-A Foundation announces 2020 priorities to address education, homelessness, hunger. Of course, it's obvious why the headlines were so dramatically different. After all, one of the groups that will no longer be funded by Chick-fil-A is the Salvation Army. You know, they specialize in ministering to the homeless and the hungry. Clearly, there was more to the announcement than new priorities. What's not clear, however, is why the fast food chain made this decision now, after fully weathering the storm they faced over 7 years ago when then-CEO Dan Cathy stated his views on traditional marriage. Today, 7 years later, having not made any public statements on sex or marriage since, the only real guilt that critics can point to is who they give their money to. Still, their reputation among some is as a hateful, bigoted organization. In fact, Chick-fil-A stopped giving to so-called culture war organizations a long time ago. Monday's breathless headlines were referring to groups like the Salvation Army or the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, who are called anti-gay not so much because they advocate for historic and orthodox Christian views on sex and marriage, but because they merely hold them. Of course, as a private company, Chick-fil-A can support any organizations it wants. Although the left has been incredibly effective at weaponizing companies, from Gillette to Sprite, in order to advance ideological goals, I don't begrudge any company, even if founded and owned by Christians, who try to sit out some of these unwinnable battles, especially while they still can. Soon, I predict, not actively fighting for progressive causes will earn you all the labels and adjectives Chick-fil-A's trying to now shed. Still, I find Chick-fil-A's decision sad on at least two levels. First, their growth to being the third largest fast food chain on the planet has clearly shown that you don't have to cave to the pressure in order to survive and grow as a company. In fact, I'll bet you a number four meal with four chicken strips right now that this decision will be the one that hurts their bottom line. Millions of Americans rallied around the restaurant in 2012 when LGBT advocates called for a boycott. And again, in more recent years, when cities like San Antonio banned the restaurant from their airports. This decision will not only lose them the support that they've had, it will embolden the bullies and will make it hard for other companies not to likewise cave to the pressure. Even more sad, however, is that without ever mentioning their names, the Chick-fil-A Foundation's decision will only reinforce the slander that these organizations they're no longer giving to are in fact anti-LGBT. It will only reinforce that all the good that these organizations do is immediately made invalid if they are Christian groups with historic and biblical Christian convictions. By refusing to offer any clarity whatsoever on the reasoning behind their decision, Chick-fil-A allowed the headline to be rewritten in a way that furthers the goal of the LGBT bullies. That ultimately, there's only one acceptable position on these controversial issues: full support and full affirmation. And on another note, we're nearing the end of the year. If you value the daily dose of sanity that you get every single day from Breakpoint, would you please make a year-end gift at breakpoint.org/radio. That's breakpoint.org/radio. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, it's a fairly unsettled pattern to the extent that a lot of cloud cover will be in our skies the next couple days. But from those clouds, precipitation will be rather minimal. Spotty flurries, sprinkles, a little bit of drizzle here and there. As we go on in time, temperatures moderate a little further later in the week, only to drop again behind a cold front heading into the weekend. For this afternoon, generally cloudy. There'll be a few breaks of sunshine, though, with high temperatures topping out in the upper 30s to the middle 40s. Then for tonight and tomorrow, cloudy, a couple of flurries and sprinkles around. Low tonight, figure the mid to upper 20s to the low to mid 30s, and up around 40 or so for tomorrow. Thursday, a little milder, some sun and cloudy, late day showers. High temperatures Thursday in the 40s to near 50.
All right, Kevin Williams, if you're just joining us, here's some of the stories we're following for you today, Tuesday, November 19th. Two witnesses telling the House Intelligence Committee right now what they recall about President Trump's July phone call to the leader of Ukraine. The National Security Council's top Ukraine expert, Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. He says the president should not have used that call to ask for Ukraine's help to investigate Joe and Hunter Biden.
It was inappropriate. It was improper for the president to request and to demand an investigation.
Foreign Service Officer Jennifer Williams was also on that phone call.
I thought that the references to specific individuals and investigations, such as former Vice President Biden and his son, struck me as political in nature.
Both Williams and Vindman said they weren't aware of the evidence to support corruption allegations against the Bidens, who were under fire for their business dealings in Ukraine. The two prison guards who were on duty when Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide behind bars have been arrested. Reporter Rena Roy has more from New York City.
Those two correctional officers that were supposed to be watching Epstein here at the Metropolitan Correctional Facility will be charged as early as today. They've been previously put on leave after allegedly submitting false reports that they were checking on Epstein every 30 minutes as required.
That's Rena Roy reporting. Two college professors held by the Taliban are free following a prisoner swap today. American Kevin King and Timothy Weeks were released in exchange for three top Taliban commanders. Bedwetting. It affects about 5 million American youngsters. Dr. Rena Malik is a urologist at the University of Maryland Medical System. She says it's common up to the age of 4. If it's still happening after the age of 7, well, that's a problem.
If your parents were bedwetters until an older age, it's very likely that your child will be a bedwetter until an older age. Some kids will just have a smaller bladder capacity than others. Also, some kids, they're deep sleepers, and that's kind of an indicator that there is slow development of brain and bladder control.
So how do you fix bedwetting?
You can try to reduce the amount of fluid your child drinks about 1 to 2 hours after bed. Also, during the day, you can make sure that they're going to the bathroom on a regular basis so that they're not holding for long periods of time, because that can contribute to the problem.
The experts say it's also important to not get upset in front of your little bed wetter. That will only make the wetting worse. Coming up on 25 minutes past the hour, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, David Taylor from Bellwood, Pennsylvania. His ministry called The Door is helping fatherless kids find a new start.
The Door was started 21 years ago. A man named George Palmer was driving his kids home from school, and in our community, there was a very prominent street corner where 30, 40 or more kids would hang out every day after school, and there would be trouble, there might be drugs. Instead of driving by and swearing at those kids, he decided we need to do something for those kids. And that led to him beginning to understand that for some kids, there's nobody at home. Mm-hmm. For some kids, the streets are safer than home. For a lot of young people, the adults in their world are checked out. So he felt God wanted him to make a home where those kids could go.
Where did your passion and your desire come from, David, to help teenagers?
I was a kid who could have used a place like this. I had food on the table at home. I had a family, but I had pain and I had trouble that I wouldn't have been able to tell anybody about. I didn't know anybody who would believe me if if I told them what my life was like, and I held a lot of shame inside. I just needed a place of peace, a place to go where I didn't have to answer a lot of questions, where I could just be and be loved on and cared for and acknowledged by some people who just didn't know that I mattered. As I've been working with these kids, I've realized, you know, there was a kid in me who needed a place like this. It wasn't there. And I saw an internet picture where a kid was asking his dad, "Dad, how did you know how to be a good dad when you didn't have one?" And the father answered, "Son, I just gave you what I knew my heart needed." And I think a lot of what we do at the door has been not what I've seen other people do, or not even what I've been taught to do, but just what I knew my heart needed and didn't get.
Those people were obedient to that call. They're the most powerful influences for those young people. If you've lived it, you know it, and you've lived it, David. How do you find the kids you help out? And are you seeing a theme, good or bad, when you look at our young kids today?
I do see a constant theme. I believe the number one problem in America today is not gang violence, abortion, drugs, alcohol, any of those other things. I believe they all stem from one common problem that very few are talking about, and that is the issue of fatherlessness in America today. It is an epidemic. 90% of the kids that I work with do not have their dad at home. We don't put up a sign that says, "Hey, if your life is awful, come in here," or "If you have no dad, show up here." We don't really even advertise. The kids just get word of mouth. This is the place to be. This is the safe place. This is the fun place. This is the place where you get loved on. I mean, we have wonderful activities and great things to do, but the number one thing, if you ask our teens, what is the door to them, they'll all say it's family. And all of our social ills, all of our criminal problems, all of our things that make headlines every day, I believe are stemming from this fatherless epidemic.
You're listening to Hometown Heroes on Family Life. Our guest this week, David Taylor, and the Lionheart Program. What's that all about, David?
It was just a natural next step. When a kid turns 18 years old, you can be put on the street, even if you're a good kid. And nobody prepared you to pay bills. Nobody prepared you to get a job. Nobody told you how to balance a checkbook. Nobody told you how to be a good man. I've seen so many of our young people, and I just look at them and I go, they're not going to make it. So every area of life, we're trying to raise up young men who are ready to take on the world.
You are on the front lines of this fight. You see it every day. You're meeting these needs, and I'm listening to you. I feel ashamed that I had a good father, and I didn't have to deal with a lot of these issues that too many kids are dealing with. How do you look at the world now?
I think it's made me a more compassionate man. You know, Christians can be very condemning of families that are messed up, and people who, and kids on the street, they see outrageous behavior, or the way they dress, or they don't like their thumping music, or anything else. And I have found that behind each one of those things that was offensive or I didn't like is a story of a broken person, someone that God cares about deeply, and that we need to get to know, and that our churches need to be full of the lost and broken once again. They were in the early days, and there's a certain smug self-righteousness that is a plague in the kingdom of God, and the compassion of Christ, the willingness to be a friend of sinners, the willingness to not care about your reputation, but to care more about whether or not you love on the lost. I think that needs to come back and be prominent once again in the family of God.
That's David Taylor from Bellwood, Pennsylvania, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
The big show comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report. You can also find it online anytime, fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, it's a fairly unsettled pattern to the extent that a lot of cloud cover will be in our skies the next couple days. But from those clouds, precipitation will be rather minimal. Spotty flurries, sprinkles, a little bit of drizzle here and there. As we go on in time, temperatures moderate a little further later in the week, only to drop again behind a cold front heading into the weekend. For this afternoon, generally cloudy. There'll be a few breaks of sunshine, though, with high temperatures topping out in the upper 30s to the middle 40s. Then for tonight and tomorrow, cloudy, a couple of flurries and sprinkles around. Low tonight, figure the mid to upper 20s to the low to mid 30s, and up around 40 or so for tomorrow. Thursday, a little milder, some sun and cloudy, late day showers. High temperatures Thursday in the 40s to near 50.
All right, Kevin Williams, finally at noon. Today we said bye-bye to Bei Bei, the popular panda at the National Zoo in Washington, D.C., now headed to China.
Good boy.
Lori Thompson has cared for Bei Bei ever since the day he was born, but at 4 years old, he's all grown up. And under an agreement with China, Bei Bei must join their panda breeding program.
Once I think I have to say goodbye, that's going to be tough.
Bei Bei could be the last panda at the National Zoo. His older brother and sister already in China. His parents will stay in D.C., but officials say it's unlikely his mother can have another cub. Zoo Director Steve Monfort believes this is not an end of an era.
Our vision would be working with the Chinese counterparts for another 50 years.
There are only about 1,800 pandas left in the wild today, and the hope here is that Bei Bei will soon become a father and play his role in making sure that this vulnerable species never disappears. That is the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.